This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast presented by Omaha Steaks. Josh All alone with you guys here on a Friday. Happy Friday, by the way. I hope everybody's weeks are wrapping up real nicely. You're getting ready for another weekend of NFL preseason football, which means don't get too overly excited about anything, but just enjoy the fact that football is back. Today on the show, I just want to break down the reports and the things that we have seen and learned from the Browns and the Vikings joint practices over the last 2 days. I want to talk about what is being said, what we understand or know about the game coming up tomorrow in Cleveland against the Vikings. And I also want to talk about the big J-O-K, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah extension that came out the other day. So we'll talk about all that on the episode here today. Kick your weekend off right here with the Dogs Podcast. Before I do, make sure you guys on YouTube, if you're watching this, please like the video, subscribe to the channel, tap that notification bell so you don't miss any new episodes, any new notifications, things that we're putting out. We're getting very close to 10,000 subscribers. And like we said on this week's past episode, once we hit 10K, and the one caveat is we need to get there before the actual season starts. So we got about a month, a little less than a month, and we are roughly 150 subs away. That's not very many. We can do this. So help us get to 10K. We're going to give away a couple, three, four, whatever of those new footballs that Bodden Sports is putting together for us with the Dogs Podcast logo on them. It's going to be very cool. Can't wait to start putting out that promotional item, and the grand prize is going to be a Cleveland Browns jersey. So we will be announcing winners after we hit that 10K mark before the season starts. So help us get there. And if you're listening on audio, Apple, Spotify, wherever, please drop us a 5-star review. Those help out the show immensely. Seriously, they do. They really help us get ranked higher, and they help us get in front of more Browns fans looking for this type of content. So help us out, help Browns fans out, and give us a 5-star review. Last but not least, the housekeeping wrap up here is jointhedogs.com. Become an official Dog Pack member. And that is if you want to play, I mean, if you just want to help support the show, that is the number one way to do it financially. And if you want to play fantasy football with us, that's the place to go. Leagues are filling up. We have four leagues full, and we are about halfway, a little more than halfway through the fifth league. And again, if we get enough people, obviously we're going to carry it over into a sixth league. Maybe we'll up the five leagues to 12-man leagues instead of 10. We can do some alterations like that, but do not wait. You've got 1 week, guys. 1 week from today, the deadline is in. It's a cutoff. No more signups for fantasy football. So get in now before it's too late. If you get in before the 23rd, you will be guaranteed a spot in the fantasy football league. But after the 23rd, it's cut off. So get in and you get a spot, but you have to go to jointhedogs.com. Sign up for whatever tier you want to do to support the show. $5 is the lowest one. You can, all tiers get you access to fantasy football. They get you access to the private Discord. They get you access to, you know, you have the opportunity to come on to the Dog Pack Discord shows that we've been doing. All that stuff is available to you through Patreon, through jointhedogs.com. So get in there now. Reminder again, I cannot say this enough, 1 week left to sign up for fantasy football. I can't believe we're here already. I feel like the summer has flown by. I feel like we were just doing draft coverage. And now here we are talking about preseason game week 2. But before we dive in to the joint practices and the Vikings and all the stuff that's been going on in camp, let's talk about the big news, the exciting news, because we had bad news earlier in the week with Mike Hall being arrested. We'll touch a little bit on that here in a little bit, because he was at practice the next day and all that kind of stuff. But we got good news. We got the big news that we've been wanting to get all offseason, all preseason here, just saying, you know, the Browns are looking to bring in a guy like Brandon Ayuk. We're in trade rumors and things here and there throughout the offseason. When are we signing J.O.K.? Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah has been a stud linebacker for the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, I especially have detailed constantly on this show how Andrew Berry and the Cleveland Browns front office just simply does not place a high priority. I know some of you guys had a problem with me saying a high value or whatever, but you know what I'm saying. A high priority on spending big money or allocating high draft capital to the linebacker position. They kind of view that as more of a plug and play, rotate guys through that position type of scenario. But J.O.K., from the second he was drafted, was the one guy at the linebacker position that has bucked that entire trend for the Browns. They traded up in the draft in the second round. First of all, they never draft a linebacker in the second round. They drafted in the second round, and they never trade up in the draft. If you've noticed with Andrew Berry, they really, if they trade, it's back. And the last 2 years, they just sit where they are and make selections, let guys fall to them. So they traded up in the second round to draft Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, and it has panned out greatly. He had a good rookie season. I believe, if I'm looking at stats right, his sophomore season down a little, but you got to remember that was the Joe Woods defense. And then when he got Jim Schwartz in here as the defensive coordinator, we beefed up that defensive line. We actually had competent players and a competent coach who knew how to execute on that defensive line. J.O.K. just had a massive breakout season for the Cleveland Browns. And now he continues to buck that trend by getting an extension, and a very big one for the linebacker position. So again, he is the exception to the rule at the linebacker position in Cleveland. So J.O.K. signs a three-year, $39 million extension with $25 million guaranteed. That puts him at $13 million and some change, whatever, average annual salary. Makes him the sixth highest paid linebacker in the NFL. Big move for the Browns, just considering the position. I can't harp on that enough. For J.O.K. at the linebacker position to garner this much cap allocation, this much priority by the Browns, just shows that not only was he very successful on the field, but the Browns believe in him. They believe in what he's able to provide for the defense. They believe he's going to continue to get even better. And, you know, when we see Andrew Berry issue out these contracts and things, sixth highest paid linebacker in the league, more times than not, the dude is getting out ahead of the market for certain types of players. You look at David Njoku, we use as an example all the time, was one of the highest paid tight ends when the Browns extended him. And everybody's like, whoa, wait, why? He hasn't really done that much yet. Are you kidding? Well, look at David Njoku now. It's a steal what we have him on the roster for cap allocation wise. So Andrew Berry rarely gets these things wrong. I know a lot of these trolls out there on social media just still hate Andrew Berry for some reason. But, you know, at the beginning of the season or even last offseason, we had a lot of people saying, hey, Browns are in cap hell next year. There's no way they're going to be able to sign anybody. They're going to lose all their good players, all because of Deshaun Watson's contract. Well, we have lost precisely zero of our good players. We've re-signed a lot of our good players that we wanted. We've traded for and extended other players, and now we just continue to add to that. So again, cap experts online, you guys are really, really running out of ammo. You don't have a whole lot left in the bag to throw out there because you've been proven wrong every step of the way. Andrew Berry in this Cleveland Browns front office is different. It's why he got extended, and it's why the Browns are one of the best run organizations right now in the NFL. And yes, that does feel very weird to say. So back in February, I did a bunch of positional breakdowns. I did breakdowns for all the different positions. Linebacker was one of them. So I'm just going to go through a few notes. And this was obviously prior to J.O.K. getting extended, but I did a deep dive into each player. So we'll go through some quick notes, not all of them, but on J.O.K. A couple just team notes. And this goes back to that salary thing. In 2020, the Browns allocated 8% of their cap to the linebacker position. 2021, just 4%. 2022, 4.3%. And in 2023, the Browns spent 4.9% of the cap on the linebacker position. So when AB came in here as the GM in his first year, that cap space allocation was 8%. And since then, cut it in half. It's been 4. Last year was up close to 5, but still almost in half from what it was. So again, this just reiterates paying JOK just tells me they really believe in what this guy can be for the Browns moving forward. And what was he in 2023? Played all 16 games for the team. And yes, I know there are 17 games, but week 18 against the Bengals didn't count. We played all backups. It was essentially a fourth preseason game, and we know how those go. Pretty damn boring. So in 2023, JOK, let's see, we're going to talk about some PFF numbers. Among linebackers with 350 snaps played, that gave me 78 qualifying linebackers. JOK had a 75.2 defense grade, that was 19th overall, 68.9 run defense, that was 40th, 84.1 pass rush grade, 5th best among all those 78 qualifying linebackers. He generated 16 total pressures, that was the 18th most. He had a 69.8 coverage grade, that was 23rd, and he had 53 stops, that was 12th among all those linebackers. And a note here that I put in, defensive stops equals a tackle that constitutes a failure for the offense. So JOK had 53 of those such tackles, 12th most among linebackers. He allowed 37 receptions on 44 targets for 263 yards and 3 touchdowns, 7.1 yards per reception, that was the 6th lowest. And so like when I did Grant Delpit's review in the safeties podcast episode, a lot of short passes. So that's why you see 37 receptions on 44 targets. There were, you know, when JOK was getting targeted, allocated with these targets per PFF, a lot of screens, a lot of short passes, a lot of stuff behind the line of scrimmage. He allowed 220 yak yards. So 220 of his 263 yards came after the catch. That's 84% of the total. If you look at the game logs, his yards allowed are 10, 0, negative 2. And then he has a 35, 9, 27, and then a 4, 12, 4, 7, 12, 0. So that stretch right there, teams were not moving the ball through the air anywhere close to Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. And then to end the season, he did have kind of a rough stretch, 34 yards, 44 yards, 24, 43. And those were the games after Anthony Walker was placed on IR. So I put in here a note from back in February. Walker being on IR had a big negative impact on the defense overall. JOK had 2 interceptions. That was tied for the 7th most in the NFL. 3 linebackers had 4, 3 linebackers had 3, and 6 linebackers had 2. JOK was one of the linebackers with 2. His snap breakdown, 589 snaps in the box, 104 on the defensive line, 44 in the slot, and 10 snaps played on the outside. Okay, and so what did all, you know, that was a lot of the PFF deeper metrics on JOK, but what did those metrics garner that, you know, the box score is going to tell you? Well, JOK had 101 tackles. He was the leading tackler on the Browns last year, 101 tackles, 72 solo, 29 assists. He had 20 tackles for loss. That was a huge number. In fact, 20 tackles for loss put him at 4th most in the entire NFL among all defenders, not just linebackers. In terms of linebackers, yeah, it looks like he was the number one linebacker in the NFL for tackles for loss. The 3 guys ahead of him, Max Crosby at 23, Danielle Hunter also at 23, and Khalil Mack had 21. And then JOK sitting right there at the 4 spot with 20 ahead of TJ Watt, Micah Parsons, Lavonte David, Myles Garrett, Nick Bosa. JOK was a behind the line tackling machine. And that was like, that's the stat that was so impressive to me. He also tacked on 3.5 sacks to go with it. He was a monster. He was a monster. And if, you know, all Browns fans, we all know in the playoff game down in Houston against the Texans, JOK was pretty much the only guy on defense to show up and play the way that the Browns defense had been playing all season, at least the way that they were capable of playing. We know that on the road last year, they were significantly worse. But still, JOK showed up. He showed up, and Now he got paid. So he's here. We've locked him up. Our core group of guys is here for a while. So we just need to make sure we're taking advantage of this win now competitive Super Bowl window that we're in. And I mean, this is already a very exciting time for Browns fans, but things could get even better. So congrats to JOK. Can't wait to see you back out there on the field this year. I am so excited to watch this defense. And speaking of the defense, this episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Dog Pack, the summer's in full swing, and you guys know what that means. Omaha Steaks annual hotter than fire sale. Go to omahasteaks.com right now, and for a limited time, you guys can get big savings on great packages from Omaha Steaks for just $99. Plus, you guys can get an extra $10 off that order with promo code DOGS, DAWGS, at checkout. So these packages with that promo code are essentially $89. From exquisite steaks to legendary burgers, the premium pork, the air-chilled chicken, the meatballs, the chicken wings, the appetizers, the ready-to-eat meals, the wine, everything that Omaha Steaks has to offer, head over there today, check it out. Shop the Hotter Than Fire sale to get these exclusive savings on the mouthwatering packages that start at just $99. Plus, use that code DOGS, DAWGS, when you check out for an extra $10 off your order. But hurry, because this sale is only available for a limited time. Summer always flies by, and this deal is going to fly by, so you're not going to want to miss it. Go shop today, omahasteaks.com. Use promo code DOGS at checkout for an extra $10 off your order. So in camp, the last couple of days, we have had joint practices with the Vikings. And, you know, at one point, supposedly Kevin O'Connell, the head coach for the Minnesota Vikings, had to tell Jim Schwartz, basically kind of tone down the physicality out here. Like, we're getting guys hurt. The Vikings had a few guys, you know, taken off the field, left practice, things like that. I know Jordan Addison, their second wide receiver, was one of the guys. I think he's okay, but he had to get like air casted and carted off with an ankle injury. And it's like, dude, you guys got to tone down this physicality. And if you've seen any of the videos, the highlight videos and stuff posted online, Martin Emerson against Justin Jefferson has been the highlight reel of the last 2 days, because obviously you got Greg Newsome not practicing on the NFI list. He won't be there for any of training camp. And then you've got Denzel Ward, who is out currently in concussion protocol. And I did just see a tweet from him saying, basically, I'm fine, I'm good to go. So I think that it's more of a precaution than anything. Just anytime you see Denzel Ward's name linked with concussion, you worry, because the dude, I believe, has had 4 diagnosed concussions, but he's been in concussion protocol numerous times. And I don't know what like the cutoff line is for where a guy needs to really be considering, okay, maybe this is the end of my career. But 4 diagnosed concussions in your professional career, we're just hoping this one is not the 5th, and it sounds like we're going to be okay there. But he did miss time here this past week with concussion protocol. So it's been Martin Emerson, MJ Emerson, out there against Justin Jefferson, the absolute, in my opinion, Justin Jefferson's the best wide receiver in the NFL. There are a handful of elite wide receivers, and nothing, no slight, no slander against any of those guys. CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, AJ Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, these guys, like, but Justin Jefferson, I believe personally, for me anyway, is at the top of that tier of wide receivers. And Martin Emerson, toe-to-toe with them. There were a couple clips of Justin Jefferson getting some, you know, making a catch here and there. A couple clips of Martin Emerson shutting him down, incomplete passes, interceptions. Martin Emerson is going to be a, boy, top 10 is a high bar, because there's a lot of good cornerbacks in the NFL. But I think he is going to solidify himself as the top 10 cornerback in the NFL by the end of 2024. He's available. He's available. So far in his career, he has been available and reliable. And when he's on the field, he produces. And he is a lockdown, shutdown, physical, in-your-face cornerback. And, you know, with Newsom probably going to be slow out the gate this year. He's dealt with injuries over his career so far. Denzel Ward, obviously, is always, you know, an iffy injury away from not playing. Martin Emerson, I think by the end of 2024, will have competed with some high-level wide receivers, and I think he will have forced himself into that listing, into that conversation of who are like the top 10 cornerbacks in the league. Cleveland's Martin Emerson Jr. better be among the top cornerbacks ever mentioned. But I digress. That was one thing. So a couple other things. So I'm just taking notes, and I believe these are from Cam Justice. She said, Deshaun Watson turned things around in goal line 7-on-7s after starting with a pick from linebacker, Vikings linebacker Ivan Pace. He followed up with completions to wide receiver Jerry Jeudy, wide receivers James Prochet, and a touchdown pass to running back Jerome Ford and Michael Woods. After the pick, there were just two incompletions in the initial session, one to Giovanni Ritchie, the backup tight end, and a drop by tight end Zaire Mitchell-Payton. So there's been a lot of back and forth online about Deshaun Watson during these joint sessions. But overall, what I have seen, what I've read from the reporters at camp that I trust their opinions, Deshaun has played very well. Jerry Jeudy finally getting out on the practice field. We know he's been dealing with an injury this entire training camp so far, so he has not practiced a ton. But man, if you have not seen the highlights, go check them out. Just search Jerry Jeudy on X and watch these videos, because his route running, his ball skills are on full display. He's leaving defenders in the dust. I mean, guys are going to have to go get their ankles repaired after they match up against Jerry Jeudy. And I'm not just trying to hype him up and everything, but I was very excited and encouraged by what I saw on film during these practices. And, you know, everything we've heard about Jerry Jeudy and his route running abilities and all that kind of stuff, it was on full display, and it was very good to see. He had a great back of the end zone toward the corner end touchdown catch from Deshaun Watson. I believe that was in 11-on-11s. And I've been very impressed. I don't know what else to say. Deshaun has had some nice throws, and I think by all accounts, he seems like he's locked in and ready to go. So we know that he is not playing tomorrow against the Vikings, but he will suit up and play next week in Seattle at 10 o'clock p.m. So that ought to be fun for everybody out here east. But so that's kind of the situation with Deshaun. I think he's going to be ready to go, ready to perform and produce very well for the Browns right out of the chute in week one. So it's just all good news in that sense. After the shoulder surgery, after all of the negative BS online, you know, Deshaun Watson, the worst trade in NFL history. So far, no, because you know what? He's still on the team. He's still the QB1 undisputed, and he's out there every day. He's been out there since the first day of voluntary OTAs. It was like the first second that he had the opportunity to get on the field and start throwing and start getting back into game shape and ready to go. He was there. He didn't miss a beat. So very encouraged by all of that. So let's go back to the notes here. The best two plays of the day came from the Browns offense, where a touchdown pass from just mentioned Deshaun Watson to Jerry Jeudy in the back of the end zone. And then there was a strong run up the middle by running back Deontay Foreman. Great note, Foreman is back at practice and participating in drills and practice, because he had that neck injury, the very scary neck injury at the Greenbrier a couple weeks ago, where they actually had to air flight him out to another hospital to get checked up. Everything came back negative. He was okay. Just, you know, whenever a guy gets hit in the head and then he's got neck pain, you can't be cautious enough. So they did what they needed to do for Foreman. He turned out to be okay, thank God, and he's back. So I'm excited to see what Foreman can add this year to the Browns offense for sure. In 11-on-11s, Watson connected on short passes with Amari Cooper, tight end Jordan Akins. But after that, the Vikings stuffed runs and had multiple sacks. Of course, they put sacks in quotes because you can't actually sack the quarterback. In these practices, the pass protection improved in these sessions compared to the first joint practice, but in 2-minute drills, the offensive line struggled again. So we've been talking about that. We'll see how things look tomorrow against Minnesota, but the offensive line has not looked good so far in training camp and preseason. I know we're dealing with a lot of backups. Sounds very familiar to the end of last season where it's like, hey, look, the offensive line's struggling. Yes, most of these guys on the line are backups. Well, we're in the same situation right now because our two starting tackles still aren't available. Got a couple weeks before the season starts. Get these guys ready. We need Jed Wills. We need Jack Conklin. So moving on here, quarterback Jameis Winston's second day of joint practices came with a little more struggle than the first day. He opened his goal line 7-on-7s with a broken up pass to wide receiver Cedric Tillman, an overthrow to Amarian Brown, and a near interception by cornerback A.J. Green III before hitting running back Pierre Strong Jr. for a touchdown. Winston threw a pick six after nearly being intercepted a short time before. That we love Jameis. I think he's a great backup to have on the team. He's a great leader for the locker room and a great, you know, sidekick for Deshaun Watson and all these things. But we do know that he is pretty loose with the football. He's a gunslinger mentality, and he does throw his fair share of interceptions. So none of that is too surprising to me. Things were once again heated between the Browns defense and the Vikings offense. So this is day two, talking about also the things on day one. Both sides were chirping at each other. No fights, lots of pressure on the defensive front, and some splash plays, including an interception by Khalif Halisi. Good to hear after he did not look good in the preseason game last week. And a pass breakup by Martin Emerson with Vikings quarterback, now starter, Sam Darnold targeting wide receiver Justin Jefferson. So that is good to see that in these team drills, Martin Emerson just not letting the completions to one of the, or in my opinion, the best wide receiver in football. So Cam Justice notes out of practice. I'll take a little pause here. So the first one is Mike Hall Jr. With a neck stinger. So Mike Hall Jr., after we talked about the arrest, the domestic violence situation that occurred on Monday night, the arrest and release on Tuesday, we said, okay, on Wednesday, be very surprised if he's with the team. Probably should get him in the building, but don't have this guy around the team. Well, then all the reports came out from camp and the joint practice on Wednesday. Mike Hall Jr. was on the field, warming up, stretching, padded up, and participating in practice. And, you know, I know there was a lot of outrage from people online about this is a bad look for the Browns. I think, you know, Daryl Reuter and all these Cleveland media goons were, you know, instantly bashing the Browns for this. But if you take a step back and you think about it, yes, all the stuff in the police report was horrific. But at the same time, he was released on bail with a with charges of misdemeanor domestic violence. So the misdemeanor charges do not add up with what was claimed in the police report. So something isn't lining up. I believe that the police, the Browns, Mike Hall's lawyers, they have more information than we do as the public. And for the Browns to feel okay. Now think about this Browns team, this Browns front office. It's all about culture. It's all about locker room presence. And they did not piss around with Perrion Winfrey whenever he had his off the field incident. They got the facts, they got the evidence, and the dude was out the door. Okay. Yes, he was not a second round pick like Mike Hall, but he was also one of Barry's draft picks, fourth round, I believe, still a decent investment at a position at the time that we really needed some players. And he had looked like he was going to develop into a player. So I say that to indicate that if the Browns were like, hey, whatever information we have, whatever facts, whatever evidence we have, we feel like there's no point holding him out of practice. Tells me that there's probably more going on behind the scenes than what we are privy to. So I'm not going to jump all over anybody for a bad look or any of that. I take that back. I do admit that it's a bad look, especially because we don't have all the information. So it is a bad look, but again, just trying to be sensible and logical about it. If the Browns have the information and they say, look, we feel comfortable having Mike Hall, not just with the team, but out there practicing, then okay, fine. I will personally step back and wait for the rest of the facts and the legal process to play out with this whole situation, because we still just don't know exactly what happened or what evidence or facts we don't know. So I'll leave it there. Mike Hall Jr. was on the field, but then, of course, got injured. And now he didn't practice yesterday in the second joint practice. So that was a whole lot to do for nothing. He came out, got hurt. Now he's out. Our defensive tackle position is dwindling quickly because Maurice Hurst also left practice yesterday. He went down, was holding his leg. He walked, I believe, if I was reading the reports correctly, walked off the field under his own power and everything, just went into the building, did not come back out, left practice. So you got Dalvin Tomlinson, questionable for week one. He is out with that knee scope. And now Mike Hall Jr. has been arrested and he's out with his own injury. Maurice Hurst left with an injury. We are dwindling quickly at the defensive tackle position, which is interesting because it's the one spot on defense, one of the spots on defense that we've been saying all offseason, hey, what are the Browns going to do here? We have a, you know, a ton of depth at this position. Somebody's not going to make this roster. And now it looks like with these injuries during the preseason, we might need to sign somebody to help fill the void there for a while. So who knows? We'll keep track of these injuries and see what's going on. Denzel Ward out of practice yesterday, obviously concussion protocol. We talked about that. David Bell still not practicing with that quad injury he suffered last weekend. Michael Woods has, by all reports, been looking very, very good. So I'm encouraged. And that's one guy that I want to watch tomorrow in the game for sure is Michael Woods. Jalen Darden, Michael Dunn, Tony Fields, Ronnie Hickman, Jordan Hicks, Nathaniel Watson, Rodney McLeod. Obviously, well, now we get into the guys we already knew. So I'll repeat that list real quick. These are new additions this week to the injuries. Mike Hall, Denzel Ward, David Bell, Jalen Darden, Michael Dunn, Tony Fields, Ronnie Hickman, Jordan Hicks, Nathaniel Watson, and Rodney McLeod. And that goes along with guys that are already out and not practicing. Nick Chubb, DeAnthony Bell, Dalvin Tomlinson, Jack Conklin, Jed Wills, Greg Newsome, and Nyheim Hines. Oh, and also Amari Cooper and David Njoku both left practice with soreness. I spend all offseason and the early part of the summer so excited for football to start. And if I'm sure you guys, a lot of you fans out there feel the exact same way. And then it gets here. And then we've got training camp. And then we've got preseason. And these injuries start popping up. And when they start escalating like this and the list just grows and grows and grows, boy, does it suck. But again, a lot of these injuries probably are more precautionary than anything. A guy like, you know, when you get Amari Cooper, David Njoku, you know, they come up a little slow, a little gimpy after a play in these joint sessions. It's like, just get them off. Get them off field, get them out, get them back to the training room, whatever you got to do. Let's just get these guys ready to go for next week when training camp resumes after the second preseason game. So it's just, you know, it's not like they were carted off or anything like that. They're not being reported as like hamstring injuries, which are a little more serious type of injury. So just want to mention it because it's there. This episode is brought to you by Bodden Sports. Browns fans, Bodden Sports is your one-stop shop for all your athletic gear. Bodden started out perfecting and manufacturing the best balls in the business. Yeah, if that sounded dirty, that's more about your mind than my words. But hey, it's true. Baseballs, softballs, footballs, basketballs, volleyballs, soccer balls, you name it, and Bodden has engineered the highest standard sports balls available. And now they offer more than just sports balls. If you got kids playing baseball or softball, Bodden has batting gloves and bats to go along with both game balls and training balls. If you're into basketball, Bodden makes basketball specifically for indoor or outdoor use. Heck, Bodden even has all the equipment you need for pickleball, which is one sport that I hear everyone is playing and yet I still never have. And I need to fix that soon. But don't miss the backyard game section of Bodden's website where you can order everything you need for this upcoming outdoor season. Pool balls, backyard volleyball nets, croquet, bocce, horseshoes, cornhole, and more. Right now, you can get 10% off your entire order at Bodden Sports, BADEN Sports.com/dogs, DAWGS, and use promo code DOGS when you check out. That's 10% off all the top quality sporting gear you need this season. BoddenSports.com/dogs. So as far as the game goes, tomorrow the Browns take on the Vikings at 4:25 up in Cleveland Browns Stadium. Kevin Stefanski has come out and said no starters will play in the second preseason game, which lines up everything for the starters to get kind of their final tune-up audition for the season next week in preseason week three against the Seahawks, which I've already mentioned. But again, no starters tomorrow against the Vikings, so just mentally prepare yourself for that. It's going to be kind of a slow burn, I am sure. We're going to see DTR and Tyler Huntley play quarterback, so even Jameis Winston is not going to play. Kevin said that Dorian Thompson-Robinson will start, and Tyler Huntley will close out the game. So those are just kind of the key things to look out for tomorrow. Guys that I'm interested, we talked about this a little bit the other night on the live show, but again, you know, on offensive side of the ball, the tackle position, good God in heaven, can we just get some confident play out of these tackles? I'm sure James Hudson will start again, but look for Jermaine Afidi to kind of rotate in or maybe just take over that left tackle position, because they probably want to see more of what he's got. They know what James Hudson's got, and it sure as hell isn't very much, unfortunately. DeJuan Jones, I'm sure, will start again at right tackle. I haven't seen anything new about that, so let's pay attention to him. I want to see what Zach Zinter can do, and of course, Nick Harris getting put back into this depth rotation on the offensive line at center. So I want to see an improvement on the offensive line. I would like to see the run blocking just come together a little bit better. 3.7 yards per carry average in week one among all our running backs. It was pathetic. It was so hard to watch. It was like, here we go, second and eight, second and nine, all the time, a freaking gain, just like last year when our run game went to shit. So let's get that moving. I would like to see, I mean, obviously chunk runs are nice. I want to see some big plays, but I just want to see more consistent 3, 4, 5 yard gains when our running backs are getting the handoff, and just move the ball steadily down the field, open up the passing game maybe just a little bit. We got more plays when DTR was in last week, so maybe the passing game won't be so anemic for the first half of this one as well. We'll see how things go. Again, Michael Woods at wide receiver, Jamari Thrash, those two guys, I really want to watch and see how they do. Obviously, you know, we interviewed Amarian Brown, great young man. He had a nice bounce back after a rough start last week and ended up doing pretty well throughout the end of that game. And I just want to see him continue to progress, because we need guys like that to put on our practice squad at the end of the preseason and say, okay, God forbid we get injuries or we get all 7 of our wide receivers on the COVID list like we did, you know, back in 2020, and we've got 0 receivers available. We got to be able to pull somebody off of this practice squad to help us out. And I like the prospects of Amarian Brown. So rooting for him to continue to, you know, grow and develop and show more stuff here during the preseason. And then, you know, if we're sticking on offense real quick, of course we want to watch Aiden Robbins. We want to see him continue to progress and be that guy that, you know, he obviously overtook John Kelly on the depth chart and on the priority for the Browns roster, because they cut John Kelly. They terminated his contract. He got picked up by Baltimore, probably be on their practice squad or whatever. And maybe they'll release him, and who knows. But either way, he's not here right now. They prioritize, well, we like what we're seeing from Aiden Robbins enough to move on from John Kelly, who's been like a 4-year practice squad guy for the Browns. So that story seems to be done finally, and now we're moving on with a younger, more explosive kid. And I really like Aiden Robbins. Good young man, and just he's big. He's big. He's fast. He can do all the things. I think that there's big upside there. So excited for him. On the defensive side of the ball, another guy who has been getting hyped and hyped and hyped during these joint sessions with the Vikings was Browns 7th round rookie Miles Harden, the cornerback. He had a great showing last week against Green Bay. Just tough physical play. And then this week the reports have been like his ball hawking skills are on full display and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, Andrew Berry was a cornerback when he played football. The dude just hits on cornerbacks. Yeah, not the best at, you know, getting in wide receivers, or maybe we're just not the best coaching staff to develop wide receivers. Defensive tackles seems to be a rough drafting position, but man, can this guy ever freaking nail cornerback. So I was excited about Miles Harden when we drafted him, and it turns out he's just living up to all that hype. So good to see that during these joint sessions. And then tomorrow, I don't know if he gets the start, but I think there's going to be a lot of playing time for Miles Harden, Cam Mitchell. I just want to see these young corners continue to grow and develop, because, you know, we've got big money into Denzel Ward right now. We are going to have to pay big money to keep Martin Emerson, and we will. I firmly believe that's not even a question. He'll be locked up. And then, you know, Greg Newsome is probably the odd man out after his fifth year. He'll probably be either traded or they'll just let that contract run out. My guess would be he's traded at some point. But especially if these younger guys can develop and show, okay, they can step up and provide what we need in this rotation now that we've gotten Martin Emerson into this like upper echelon tier of cornerbacks. So defensive line, I just want to see more out of Isaiah Thomas, Isaiah McGuire, Alex Wright. You know, the guys, it's all going to be backups again, like I said. So last week, the defensive line struggled. We got gashed quite a bit on the ground. I just want to see these guys clean that up. I want to see the tackling get better. Trying to think any other big... Brady Breeze seems to be making a name for himself on the defense. I'd like to see what he can do tomorrow against the Vikings. And then I'm just trying to think of any other names that... Mumad Diabate at linebacker, we'll see, because linebacker is thin right now, especially with Bukie Watson being out and pretty much all of our linebackers dealing with some sort of injury. So we'll see what we do there. Winston Reed, the UDFA out of Weber State. I liked what I saw from him at the linebacker position last week. And I forget what number he is on defense, but just look for Reed at the linebacker position. Watch him. I thought that he showed decent last week, and he made some plays and popped off the screen a little bit to me. So I want to see him continue. Because again, you know, we're talking about depth. We're talking about our backups, but we're also talking about who are these practice squad guys. We've got like 16 spots, I think, on the practice squad to fill. And the better that practice squad talent is, just the better our reserve depth is going through the season. Because as we've seen last year, well, the last several years with the Browns and here in training camp, at some point we're going to need it from some of these positions. So just the better we can be, the better off we're going to, you know, be this season. And then special teams, again, just interested to keep seeing how this, you know, new hybrid kickoff continues to go. Who do we got back there returning stuff? And Cade York, you know, if we're kicking field goals, man, his first field goal last week, just, it was not the type of Cade York kick that I remember watching whenever he was here as a rookie. He came through the ball, drove that thing. It was a 55-yard field goal that could have been good from 70. That was exactly what we drafted Cade York to come here and do and to come here and be. So I'm glad we have him back. If there's one guy that just through development and working on his game could be an elite kicker at some point in his career, guys, it is Cade York. I mean, we shit on him a lot because he deserved it. He sucked really, really bad his rookie season. And the Browns, he left the Browns with no choice but to move on from him last year, especially in every preseason game. He missed at least one kick. And in every preseason game, I believe it was a one score differential in the end. And I know preseason games don't matter and the win-loss shit, it doesn't matter. But it was just indicative of what we were going to be seeing during the season that, hey, look, we had these close games in the preseason and we lost them because our kicker was missing his kicks in the preseason. So they had to move on. And I, you know, it seems like he did some maturing, some soul searching, some work on his craft. He's back. I'm excited about it. And that's about as much as I want to talk about a backup kicker right now. But I think that's everything that I wanted to dive into from the joint practices this past week for the game tomorrow. Talked about JOK's extension. That's awesome. We're getting these. The Browns don't just have like a core built. They have a core that is built and is continuing to grow and develop. And it's built for a longer run than I feel like a lot of Browns fans thought was possible. After we spent all the money and all that stuff on Deshaun Watson, I mean, we re-signed Za'Darius Smith. We traded for and extended Jerry Jeudy. We re-signed and upped Dustin Hopkins. We found a way to pay Nick Chubb. We guaranteed all of Amari Cooper's cap hit this year. We've signed JOK. We signed Grant Delpit last year. We are making things happen. And it's just such a great time to be a Browns fan. So enjoy it, guys. Enjoy it. I know there's been a lot of bad news, but there is positive takeaways. And, you know, I went through a lot of it today. And if you really need just the big positive, we got JOK locked up and we're ready to roll. So So that's it. Stay tuned. We will probably be doing a dog pack Discord on Sunday if you're in the dog pack to recap the game, get all of your guys' opinions and takeaways and feedback from the game. And you talk to us, ask us questions. It's a ton of fun. Head to jointhedogs.com if you're interested in participating in those. Get access to that private Discord and sign up for fantasy football. You've got 1 week left. Don't wait. Get in now. Get your name on the registration list so that way you're guaranteed a spot in one of our fantasy leagues. It's a ton of fun. The winners get Dog Pack Championship t-shirts with your championship roster on the back. Those were a huge hit last year, so we're going to continue doing those. And it's just a great community of Browns fans. If you're looking for, you know, a good online community, and we're even getting together in the physical sense. We're going to be up in Cleveland on November 2nd the night before the Chargers game. There's a ton of Dog Pack members actually going to that Chargers game. That sparked the interest to get an event together. We're teaming up with the Browns backers in Berea. We're going to have Browns alumni at the event. We're going to do some podcasting from there. It's just going to be a totally awesome night filled with our Dog Pack members. So get in there, meet everybody. And again, it's a monthly subscription. So if you ever just, you can't afford the subscription, or you're not getting what you want out of it, just unsubscribe. It's not a big deal. But definitely check it out. And I feel like it's definitely worth your time. So that's it for today. I hope everybody, again, enjoy your Friday, enjoy your weekend. Let's go Browns tomorrow. I don't expect big fireworks or anything. I know last week there seemed to be a lot of like, oh, well, that was kind of sucky. But again, this is preseason, guys. So just pay attention to the individuals that you want to watch, or the position groups that you want to see how they perform, and just kind of have your takeaways that way rather than like an overall Browns game experience. Don't know if I said that the best way, but there you have it. So again, thank you guys for tuning in. Appreciate everybody. And we will talk to you guys post preseason week 2 after the Browns and Vikings play tomorrow. Let's go Brownies.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com. Use our code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over. So you get 10% off every order you make using code DOGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DOGS.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.